Abuse is everywhere, so we need to know and be on our guard if we want to be accurate in handling the Word of God. And I'm sure that's everyone's goal. You want to accurately handle the Word of God so that you know how to use it and what it's all about. So the last step that we need to learn is that of adapting or learning to match your problem to the right scripture. Now remember, we're not just going to the Bible every time we have a problem. You know, it's there for that, but we're going to the Bible for more than that. It's our spiritual food. It's everything that we need for life. It's everything that we have to have, but it's also our guidebook. It's also there to help us in all these ways. So adapting, what is that? It's adjusting one thing to fit another. Adapting is adjusting one thing to fit another. It's proper application. It's not adjusting the scripture to match you. It's getting you to match the scripture. You know, if you're trying to adjust the scripture to match you, then you're going to make the Bible say anything you want, live any way you want, have no accountability. I bet you're wrong. We need to adjust our lives to match the scripture. So if we go wrong here, all we've done in our study of Scripture is going to be misapplied. It's going to miss the mark. We want to do our best to keep from error in all that we do. And so I want to share some things today to help you stay true, know how to use the right Scriptures in the right context for the right reasons. So in order to be useful, truth in the Bible has to be adapted to similar, though not always identical, situations in our lives today. In other words, we don't live in the first century. Believe it or not. Sometimes you look at some of the practices that people are doing, and you might wonder. But we don't live in the first century. We don't live in the Bible days. And so what we have to do is take the truths that are there and adapt them and adjust them to our day. What would that look like today if Paul were to write to us the letter of Romans? What would that look like? And therefore, we can begin to see how we can take those things that are similar but not identical and begin to draw from them concepts and principles. So obviously, things are different in our world than in the world in which the scriptures were written. None of you came today wearing a robe. You know, none of you came, you know, some of you may have sandals on, that's fine, but you didn't come wearing a robe and that kind of stuff. So here is where we need to be careful, though. And a lot of people kind of blow it and mess it up here. Either they don't see the identity or the likeness between the biblical passage and their life situation, or they make invalid and improper identification that will result and lead them astray or misapply it. You have to be cautious. Every time we approach the Word of God, we should do it reverently. We should do it unhurriedly. We should do it prayerfully so that we can see what is it that God is saying here. So what we want to do is to identify, are we looking at what's called identity or likeness and difference. So it's kind of comparing likeness and difference that we need to learn to deal with when we're adapting Scripture so that it applies to us and is relevant today. What is it there that's there? What are the differences in the circumstances, the differences in the culture, the differences in what we see going on, so that we can make a proper application to it? So all that we've learned up to this point has been building so that we can learn to apply Scripture to our daily life. If we can't apply Scripture to our daily life, what good is it? It's just another book on the shelf. But we know that it's more than that. It's God's Word. And we need to know how to apply it to today, to your decisions you're making, to the struggles you might have, to planning for the future, or whatever. We have guidelines in God's Word for all of this. So God has given us His Word to be practical, to be useful, for daily life, to guide, to give us direction, answers to life's problems, to give us wisdom and to help us make right decisions and to encourage us. It's there for all of that and more. So I want us to look for a bit at those two factors involved in adapting. As I said, identity or likeness and difference. What are these two and how do they work? Well, we'll start with identity first. Identity is looking for sameness or likeness of essential purpose. You read the Bible, you read the scripture, what was the purpose? You know, we see that. If you look at where we were at our scripture reading, if you go on to that first verse of chapter 5, for every high priest taken from men is appointed to service to God for the people. Well, we don't have high priests anymore. So we would have to look at that and say, how do we adapt that to today? Well, we could look at that and say, every pastor that leads a church, every Sunday school teacher that leads a Sunday school class, every youth group leader that leads a youth group, these are there for a reason. So you adapt that, you know, even though there's no high priests around. Now, if you're a Jewish person, you're probably still a high priest somewhere. And other places, people think that they're priests and all of that, but they're not. So identity is looking for that sameness, the essential purpose, character that comes in varied situations. So we ask, does this match this? Does this match that? Are these things matching? How do they stack up? So we need to seek to understand the purpose or the intent of a passage. David Barton wrote a book called The Original Intent. What was the original intent of the writers of the Constitution and of the Declaration? Great big thick book and fine print and long hard read, but it's there. The intent. Can we know the intent of the readers? Yes. How? By listening to what they read, by reading what they've put and how they were. We see what they're trying to get at. And so we want to find that intent of a passage. What is this passage intending to say? We're attempting to discover the Holy Spirit's purpose, the Holy Spirit's intent in putting that. These verses and these chapters and these books in our Bible are not there by accident. They're there by God's design. They're there by His leading, by His inspiration. Not just did He inspire the writers, but those that put it together, that put it all in it, so that we have it the way we have it today, there's a purpose. So the question to ask when studying is, what does the Holy Spirit want to do in me? What does the Holy Spirit want to do in my church? What does the Holy Spirit want to do in my family? What does the Holy Spirit want to do in the situation I'm in? We need to ask that. Every time you pick up your Bible, every time you go to read it, you should always pray. And this is one thing you should pray. Lord, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in my family? What do you want to do in my church? Help me to see it here. And you can get insight into all different kinds of passages, even those places that you thought were boring. Ask the question, what's the intent? It's here for a reason. So when you can answer that question accurately, then you will be on your way to adapting the truth to the present day situation that you may be considering in your life. What was the intent? The original intent was this. So therefore, how does that apply to me today? How can I adapt that to today? You know, we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world. All right? What's the Holy Spirit's intent there? He wants us to know what God did. He loved the whole world. That He gave His only Son. It's only one and only Son, so that whoever would believe in Him, and John's word for belief is to accept and make personal, Him as your personal Savior. That's the intent of that. And so how do we realize we adapt that? Because Jesus died once for all, Hebrews tells us. And so we adapt that to our present situation. But for us to answer those questions clearly of what does He want to do in me? What does He want to do in my church? What's He want to do in my family? For us to answer those questions clearly, we need to know how to dig out the principles that are in a passage. There's principles that are there for us. How do we dig them out? So to dig out a scriptural principle requires understanding, and it requires practice. So my recommendation to you is, as you study, as you open up your Bible, ask the Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Help me to have understanding of your word and what it says. Help me to understand it so that I can apply it. In order to dig out a purpose principle, and they're there, we need to be able to ask and answer the following questions. And so what are those questions? What's the general purpose of the passage? That's the first question. What's the general purpose of the passage? Is it to inform, to convince, to motivate? You could add other things there, to encourage, to discourage, you know, whatever. You can add. Those things that I put in your outline are just examples. So that's the general purpose. But then we need to ask ourselves, what is the specific purpose of this passage? Is it to inform me about what? What's it informing me about? Is it to convince me to believe or disbelieve what? You know, you hear something. Maybe it's on a podcast or something you hear on a reel or something. Is it real? Is it legit? Is it what God is saying? Is it what? Well, you need to ask. What does God's word say? Convince. And then we need to ask it to motivate me to do or to stop doing what? God's word is going to motivate you to do things. It's also going to motivate you to stop doing things that aren't in line with what he wants, in line with his word. So those things we need to do when we are reading and studying our Bible. And as we do that, then we're beginning to get the overall working grasp of how these things apply in our lives. So whenever you can answer those questions, you'll be able to state the purpose or the emphasis of the passage in a simple sense. And this is where your Bible study becomes real. Get a notebook and write down, all right, I'm going to read through the Gospel of Matthew, okay? And so begin to ask yourself, and you can tell the paragraphs in your Bible, even though there's verses, there's usually, what is the purpose of this paragraph? What is the purpose of what's going on here? What is the intent the Holy Spirit has for me, for my family, for whatever? What is the purpose? What is the emphasis there? Write it down. Write it down. You can go back and review it later. You know, is the passage the Holy Spirit in, you know, in this passage, the Holy Spirit intends to, and then state the general purpose. He intends to inform me. He intends to instruct me. He intends to correct me or whatever. In this passage, the Holy Spirit intends for me to fill in blanks. State the specific purpose. What do you sense that the Holy Spirit's teaching you and telling you through that portion of Scripture? Write it down. Maybe a good idea just to write those questions down on a card and keep it in your Bible. So that when you open your Bible, use it as a bookmark for where you're at and use those questions when you read it and when you study it so that you know where you're at. You'll get more out of your Bible reading, and of course you're going to do a whole lot more in getting it out of your Bible study as well. So at first you may need to force yourself to do that. Can I just pick up my Bible and read it? Well, yeah, you can. But what are you going to remember? What did you read in your Bible yesterday? Where did you read? You have to think about it. I don't know. But if you were reading it and you were stating, well, yesterday I learned this purpose. I saw this purpose that came out. And you're going to be able to grasp it and apply it more to your life. So it takes work. It's an effort. It's a discipline that Christians far too often don't have that we should have for each of the passages. Write it out. Get this discipline into practice in your life, and it'll help you. It'll help you to get a real working knowledge of the Bible, the Word of God. Let's just look at an example of that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, what's it say? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. So as you read that and you look at that, you know that God has some solutions here to basic problems. He had basic solution to those in ancient Israel. He had those that were applicable to the church at Corinth and those that are applicable in our day as well. No temptation. So in other words, anytime you're tempted, anytime you're tested, anytime you're tried, know. One of the first things the enemy is going to try and do is get you to think, you're the only one that has that. Man, I'm the only one that thought that. I'm the only one. He tries to isolate. He tries to separate you from everybody else. Because then you're on your own. And if you allow and you entertain that thought, that it's just me, and man, how could I be so rotten? How could I be so nasty? How could I have thought that? How dare me? You know, we go on and on. The enemy's just laughing. We need to know, wait a minute. No temptation has overtaken me. This is common to humanity. More than me it's happened to. More than some, just me have thought that, done that, been tempted to do that. And so we need to look at the situation and see how it's applicable to us. Even though many Corinthians might have thought, well, they're not applicable because they were written to an earlier time in history than me. And Paul's saying, no, not true. You can just hear him, just like Christians today. Times have changed so much, you know, things are different now, you know. No, it doesn't work that way with the scriptures. They're relevant to now. Sounds like people today wondering how words written to Israelites or to Corinthians have much relevance to me living in 2026. With my situations, with the gas prices, with terrorism, with conflicts, with problems, with circumstances. And the enemy likes to get you to think about that and make excuses. And we stop and say, no, this is applicable today. None of this is happening just to me. It's happening to the entire humanity. And it reminds me, God is faithful. God is faithful. How many times has the enemy tried to get you to doubt God's faithfulness? Thinking that maybe he forgot about you. He's too busy doing big things with big people, big places. How can he be concerned about you with your little tiny struggle and your little tiny problem, which is very big to you, but to others it might look, God is concerned about that. That's on his mind. He's able to handle all of that and to process all of that. So we need to realize, God remember, we need to remember what we read in our scripture reading. God's word is alive. God's word is active. It's not dead. It's not just some book like you might want to read a novel or a book of poetry. God forbid. I hope you love poetry. Some of that can be brutal. But, you know, God's word is alive. Paul sheds light on some of this argument. If you go back up to verse 6, where he makes mention, and he says this, now these things became examples for us. There's the principle. Examples for us. So that we will not desire evil things as they did. And then down in verse 11, he says, now these things happened to them, what? As examples. And they were written as a warning to us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So the word translated examples here are tupos and tupakos. And they mean literally an example or a pattern, or by way of example, they're using it. So these terms make it clear that the principles that may be found and applied from the events that we read in the scriptures can be a pattern for any age, for any year, for any generation. And that includes ours. So the reason is given in 1 Corinthians 10:13, so that no temptation, no trial has taken hold of you. None of that has happened and overtaken you except what's common to man. And he wants us to understand that. There is an identity here to human problems. There's a likeness to human problems and experiences in all ages. It's our task, then, when we're adapting biblical truth, the biblical truth of this verse, to our times and to our situations, to discover those biblical likenesses or identities so that we can know what is or what is not applicable in our day. Now, Paul would have written this, no temptation is happening strictly and only to you Corinthians. You know, then it's like, okay, well, what about the verse that we are so commonly used out of Chronicles? If my people called by my name will humble themselves, that was written specifically to Israel. Does it apply to us today? Yeah. Why? Because the principle is there. If you will do these things, I will do what I said I will do. Whether you're Israel or whether you're America or whether you're some other country, I will do what I said I would do. And so we need to see the likeness and how it can be taken and how it can be applied. And so whatever is identical and therefore applicable to any age is that we need to be taking those principles in the stated form, the purpose position that they make, and having them applied to our life. But then there's the category of difference. All right, we need to cover that. Difference is those things different in the original day from our time in history. Difference in those things. Okay? Application is necessary because of differences. We need to get the purpose out of that which is different. How is it different? And there are differences that we find in a lot of different places. So the identities or the likenesses are what makes application possible. But because of the differences, which can get in the way sometimes, the likenesses need to be made to fit by translating them into terms and forms of our day and age. Okay? So we look at the differences that are there. Now, and we try and make them fit our day and age. What this doesn't mean is that we twist and change Scripture to make it say what we want for our situation. It means we need to come up with a correct wording and phrases that match our day and not corrupt the original purpose of God's Word. And we need to keep that in mind. There's differences. Look at the example that's talked about, you know, in the parable of the Good Samaritan. You don't have priests and Levites running around the roads, do you? No. But you've got Christians. You've got strong Christians. You've got nominal Christians. You've got others that may be seeing a need. And they just, I'm busy. I don't have any time for that. But then there's this one who's truly following the Lord. And they realize there's a need here. We need to do something about it. We need to meet that need. That's taking the difference, making it applicable to today. You're not going to see priests and scribes and, you know, those kinds of things, but you are going to see, you know, Christians, Bible teachers, pastors, missionaries, Christian leaders, Christians that are following or in the church. You're going to see those kinds of things. And so we need to take those and translate them into today and realize that. So if you were writing that passage today, how would you write it? Maybe that's a good exercise. If I were writing this passage to today's people, what would I say? That's sometimes where some newer translations come from. They try and take what was said there and try and translate it and make it more applicable to today so that we can understand it in that way. And that kind of helps us, kind of takes the work out of it if you trust the translator. So make sure you know who's translating it. Get their credentials, find out where they're coming from, what's their stand on the Word of God, and what's their track record. So just don't accept any translation just because it's there. So remember, identity. The likeness is seeking to understand the purpose of the passage. The purpose-gathering process is what weeds out the purposes that are there from all kinds of differences that may come up that are in there. Differences of culture, differences of the day in which we live, and not letting them cloud the situation. So we have to look at that. So when you're getting an answer for something in life, and you're trying to figure it out, ask yourself, what's the differences here? What's the likenesses here? And look at that. So the application process consists really of three steps. And I've just given them there to you. Identifying the identities or the likenesses, that's the principles. This is done through the procedures that we've used to look at what the purpose might be, the emphasis. Then there's the drawing out the principles. What are they at? What are they? Drawing them out and looking at them through a purpose statement. These principles are causing this purpose to happen. Now, this is the purpose, and I see these things there. So you draw those out, those principles that are there, and see how they match the purpose of the statement. And then there's reintroducing the principles into the setting of new circumstances today in which we live, or into our modern day, So we see how they apply. So we're taking those principles that were laid down several thousand years ago, and we're making them relevant to today. How does it apply to me today? You know, August 2nd, 2026. How does that apply? So if the identity or the likeness is not properly reintroduced to the new setting, and the new setting is today, then there's going to be no connect that's going to be there to help us. There needs to be a connecting point. And that connecting point is when we take the likeness and adjust it to our situation, our day and age in which we live, and then we see how that coordinates with us. So this is what makes our study profitable. And for today, because we gain the principles that can be applied in our lives for our day, for the day in which we live. This also keeps us from error in twisting and distorting the biblical information or bending it to fit where it doesn't belong. You see people trying to do that a lot. They try and proof text something. So in true application, the similarities and the differences are both fitted into new and creative ways that apply to us to today. Doesn't change the message, doesn't change what was said, it just fits it into how we live in our day. Preserving the text, preserving the context, while redressing it, new clothes, modern clothes, that blends rather than clashes with modern situations. Okay, so we need to look at those things. And we need to see them. I want to look at an example. Maybe it'll make it easier than what it's easier than what it sounds. Okay, and this is this is what happened to a group of people. They in a recently published book, they read this. It seems so difficult to bring people to believe that they can hear God's voice. Members of the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C., have been experimenting. Key word there, in this field for some time. Their conclusion is this: we think, another problem, we think that we are 21st century people. Nevertheless, we have hints that one can receive directions as clear as those given Ananias, rise and go to the street called Straight. What they're claiming then is that we should all be getting direct revelation from God. Is that true or is that false? That's false. There's no direct revelation coming anymore. The writer then of the book says, why not? And if you're not an astute person, if you're not thinking, and if you're not in tune, yeah, why not? What's the deal? Well, the answer can come from the text itself that was taken from. If you go to Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, and we all know what that's all about. Poor Ananias gets tapped on the shoulder by God and says, hey, yo, you know the dude that's been killing Christians and taking them into prison and locking up families and doing all this stuff? I want you to go visit him. Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. But that's what God told him to do. In verses 10 and 11, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord, he said, get up and go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he's praying there. And man, I can't imagine the chill that went down his back. You got to be kidding. You know, I choose life, I like life, I enjoy life, and you want me to go there. Okay, now, remember the context. New Testament's not written yet. New Testament's not done. How's God getting his message to the people that he wants to do? Direct revelation to them. Does direct revelation to them mean that direct revelation is going to come to all of us today? No. Why? Because God's word is now complete. His direct revelation is sealed up in his book. Does he give us fresh understanding? Yes. Does he give us new insights? Yes. He never is going to give you a new revelation. Now, I know that that term can be used in different ways, but there are no new revelations. What we need to know are in the book, between the covers, that God wants for us. So although there is a record here of God speaking in a direct way to Ananias, and those things that he said, the intent that the Holy Spirit has, and remember, what is the intent the Holy Spirit wants us to know? Ask that question. And the intent of what the Holy Spirit wants us to know isn't to teach us to seek direct revelation. That's not the intent of that passage. Also remember that the New Testament, as I said, wasn't finished. So there was a need for that at a point in time. But we need to realize that the purpose of the Holy Spirit writing that was so that something could change in Saul's life at that time, and it needed Ananias to be the human instrument. So he wasn't teaching us to go around seeking direct revelation. So if you're running around seeking direct revelation, you might as well save your time. Not going to happen. It's not going to go. God's not going to give you a new revelation. He'll give you new understandings of what's already there. As I said, he'll give you a new comprehension of what's already there, but not a new revelation. So the intent of the Holy Spirit must be seen in every passage, because there are many like passages like this that people press way beyond the intention, and they come up with new teachings, new doctrines that nobody's ever heard of. Oh, but God told me. Oh, then that must be right. Somebody ever tells you God told me, that should send off a warning buzzer right away, first of all. And don't get critical. Don't get harsh with them. Don't, give them a holy slap or something. But just don't be sucked in to what's not right. A careful analysis of a passage for its purpose would reveal quite a different emphasis. The people at this church, in the illustration that we used about the one in Washington, they received their hints not from a good study that looked into the historical, grammatical, rhetorical, theological interpretation that they should, but from extra-biblical experiments. Very dangerous. Very dangerous for your spiritual life. Looking at the purpose, you see that the Holy Spirit had no intention of teaching either the first readers of Acts or any others that they could or should receive direct revelation through meditation. It's an erroneous understanding of Acts chapter 9 that we encounter in all too typical accounts throughout, people proof texting. The Bible says this, and this is what it means for me. It might not mean it for you. That's not what truth is. That's relevant truth. It's not legitimate. In other words, biblical passages have been distorted to meet modern situations that people want them to, so that they can excuse themselves. It's been used for the writer's purpose, not for the purpose which it was intended. And that's the danger. So again, the criteria for correctness in application is not the ease of application, but being correct. You want to be correct in properly locating and identifying the purpose of any passage. What is it? The error we want to avoid is to not, either by misinterpretation or misapplication of a passage, try to make the text fit my situation. When you're trying to make it fit your situation, you got a problem and you're in error. So again, we'd be proof texting, trying to make the Bible say what I want it to say so I can do what I want to do and excuse what I'm doing. When that happens, the scriptures are accommodating the purposes of the one misusing them. And this can happen through ignorance of not knowing how to rightly interpret what's going on, what God wants us to understand, what he's saying to us in his word, how he wants us to understand it, and how he wants to have us apply it to our situation in the day in which we find ourselves. And so as we think about this, it's not a new problem. It's a problem that's been around for years and years and years and centuries. People trying to misuse God's word. You take those few simple questions, take those few simple things to your Bible study, and begin to use those, because our goal is to be as careful and as accurate as we can in the use of what we have learned and with the help of the Holy Spirit in seeking to get and to apply the Word of God to our life situation. Now, I'm going to cheat I'm going to help you cheat. I don't have it for you today. I'll have it for you next week. But it's not an exhaustive list, but it's a list of all kinds of problems that you can run into. And I've got the scriptures down for you, and I've got all those things so I can give you a head start. And Lord willing, I'll be able to give you that next week so that you have that, a quick reference guide. And again, not exhaustive. You need to add to it, and you need to do things to it. But again, the idea is what's there. The key is that we can't change the things that are intended in Scripture. We can change the circumstances, the cultures, and see how it would fit in our day. We need to make this a part of our regular use of Scripture so that during the week, when situations arise, when problems arise, you'll be able to handle them biblically, correctly, and doing that to get a correct solution so that you can praise the Lord. You can then have a testimony and say, this is what the Lord helped me to learn this week. Somebody says, well, how's it going with you? Oh, let me share with you what the Lord helped me to learn this week and how he helped me through this situation or this struggle or this problem. So the key is that is changing these things to be relevant to today. The purpose of the passage never changes. It remains intact. The only the application changes, how we apply it to today and the form, the clothes that wears for our generation. So take what you've learned, use it, help yourself, help your family, help those that you know that may be struggling, how to use God's word properly. He's given it to us for a reason. We need to use it for that reason. Let's stand as we share in our singing our closing hymn.